Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com.
And welcome to the Dakota Days edition of In the Moment Tech Radio. I'm your host, Ken Osborne. We've gathered the experts to talk tech today, answer any questions you might have. In the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls, we have Mac guru Joel Borovalite. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
It's great to hear your voice again. I'm doing well. Lemonly's John T. Meyer joins Joel. Hey, John.
Hello, hello.
Good to see you today, or listen to you today. I've seen your tweets.
Great to see your smiling face, Ken.
Absolutely. Amos has taken the day off, but that's cool. He deserves it. From the Bureau and Peer, Jeff Lyric joins us. Hey, Jeff.
Hello.
How's Peer?
Pretty good.
I realize that's an open-ended question, but we only have so much time for today's show. But welcome, and thanks for spending your time with us. Folks, if you'd like to ask questions of these three, we'll try to provide the answers. If you're a Facebook user, point your Facebook over to facebook.com/techradio. Hit the like button while you're there. Maybe share something. You'll see my latest rant. may talk about that later, but don't be shy. Hey, our phone number is 800-524-3604 if you'd like to talk to us. If you're a Twitter user, send those questions to @KentSDPB. But the email address, the most popular way to get a hold of us, inthemoment@sdpb.org. That's inthemoment@sdpb.org. Well, any one of the three of you shedding a tear today about AOL Instant Messenger shutting down? I don't know if there's any users.
Yeah,
no.
I'm right. Sure that there are people out there that are
maybe a little nostalgic, but yeah. haven't logged on to that for a few years.
Yeah,
surprised me it was still running actually. So.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, you know they struggled. You know they it started out as kind of a browser thing with other AOL people, and then kind of grew into an application that you could install, but never really made that shift to mobile.
You know, speaking about AOL, just as a side note, I hear there's some studies that there's actually still a lot of AOL dial-up users out there. Fascinating as that is, dial-up in this age. But AOL still has dial-up users.
Is that a choice or a necessity for those people?
I'm not sure, but it's kind of weird in the days of cell phone data access and stuff like that. But it's still out there, so... doesn't surprise me instant messenger has probably lasted this long then.
Habit? You think? Or, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's tons of people out there, older people especially, that, you know, started using the internet on AOL and they get their email that way and they just haven't changed a thing because they haven't needed to change a thing. I'm sure that there's a good amount of people out there that are doing that very thing.
Okay.
And don't want to change because they don't need to.
Sure.
I agree on the email. I'm curious where these dial-up folks are, at least in the United States, because I feel like that's...
Well, I mean, think about it. If you say you're 60 years old and it's 20 years ago and you get dial-up because that's what everybody has and it continues to work, and you pay your bill every month and you don't care. In fact, your bill probably keeps going down and going down and... I'll use it for his email, and you don't want to relearn how to do anything else, even though everybody says it's simple.
Sure.
I know tons of people that fit that category.
Yeah, I had this discussion this morning with a person in the office based on a tweet, John, you sent earlier today that talked about, is it time to replace the Social Security number? And, man, that's a loaded question. And I think the solutions brought forth in that article might work for me or you or the people sitting around the table today, but I'm not sure it works for the general public at this point.
Let's be fair to that article. So the article is about what you should do post Equifax hack and the recommendations. We can put it up on our Tech Radio Facebook post.
Oh, I'd love to do that, yes.
Yep. The recommendations first are, one, to go check your credit score, which you can do for free if you haven't done it in the last 12 months, or if you have, you can pay to do it. But check your credit score across the three major players to see what it looks like. And then step two, the gentleman recommends to freeze your credit. As long as you don't have a huge purchase coming up, you're not getting an auto loan, car loan, mortgage, freeze your credit, at least for the time being, because, you know, let things calm down, let kind of see where things go. That's his two steps he recommends. He admits there's some links in there to go do it at each one. So at Equifax, at what are the other two called? There's the Experian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the other one, I don't remember. But so that article's there. But yes, in kind of the commentary at the end, he said, you know, we're a long ways to go, but hopefully maybe the government someday will move beyond the antiquated Social Security number, this 9-digit number that we all just memorize and carry with us, that maybe there'll be some multi-factor authentication or something else. So we'll see. But I mean, I thought one thing he said, which I thought was a good analogy, is you lock your home at night. If you lock your home at night, then you also need to constantly protect your identity. It's not just a thing you do once, that you buy something and then you're done. Today, protecting your identity and your data is a constant process.
Right. And I did link that article. It's at our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. What to do post Equifax. I call it Equihax, but that's okay. Just my little pun.
Did you see, too, the other thing that was, oh my gosh, just almost embarrassing. In the start of the article, he talked about how, Jeff, you would just laugh at this, just the how vulnerable Equifax was, but also like the way in which they tried to kind of prepare, you know, and there was some insider trading going down where, you know, they knew about the breach for, I think, 38 days, and a lot of folks were inside of Equifax were selling their stock, and they just truly come off as very incompetent if you read that article, which is very frustrating.
Yeah, it was a good article.
There's been more than one article that has suggested that, and it's every time new revelations come out, it just kind of reinforces that fact. In fact, it's kind of sad that a credit bureau with so much responsibility and power and sensitive data was so lax in terms of security, because they're being attacked every day. It's not like this was an unknown issue for them. So,
okay. Well, we have a caller waiting. Let's go ahead and dispense with Caesar quick. You have a question. Downloading some video content. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hopefully this is a really simple one for Mac users. Is there a way to go directly from online content to your peripheral drive? Skip using the hard drive on the Mac. Just go direct to the secondary.
Not sure exactly what you mean by the peripheral drive or the secondary.
Just whatever you're using, whether it's a USB drive or FireWire.
Are you saying, is there a way to download the video from the internet to a USB drive? Is that the question?
Direct. Without having to put it on the machine itself.
I mean, that shouldn't be, as long as you're able to download the video in the first place, you should be able to save it anywhere you want. The file system for macOS is, you know, very similar to all other modern file systems. So, you know, when you go to save it, you just, instead of saving to the desktop or to a folder on the computer, you browse till you find that external device or external drive or secondary drive, and just hit save as you would normally. So, yeah, it's absolutely no problem.
Do you have a follow-up, Caesar?
Okay. An entirely unrelated issue. On the 18th of October, with the Department of Homeland Security now recording even naturalized citizens' social media and web search data on aggregate, is there any consequence to using a shielded browser to keep that from happening? And I can take my answer off the air.
Okay. Appreciate the questions today.
Is there any consequence to using a shielded browser? So I'm assuming he's talking about using a VPN or a browser that, spoofs for everybody else. It just says that you're somewhere else than you are, just a way to protect your privacy. No, I don't think there is any downside of that. And in fact, I think more and more people are doing that. And there are lots of plugins for current browsers or options in browsers that will allow you to browse anonymously, or I guess I would call it semi-anonymously. Jeff, I don't know if you think otherwise, but there's no downside as far as I can tell. Sometimes there's a little bit of speed hit, but that's about it.
And that really depends on what provider you're using to supply the VPN or the plugins. In terms of speed hit, I actually, for network troubleshooting and all this stuff, you have to use it. And I actually use one plugged into my home router. I pay for a service, and they give me a little file that I just upload to the router, and I can turn it on and off whenever I need it. And that covers all traffic. If you just do your browser, remember, it's only covering what's in your browser, not secondary connections, not your email program, stuff like that. Well, if you do it on a network device downstream of your device, be it a wireless access point router, then it covers all the traffic. So there's some advantages, disadvantages to either one. Of course, that's not very mobile because you're not taking your router wherever you go. But there's a lot of ones out there, both free and paid for. The paid for ones tend to be quite a bit better performance and more, let's just say, predictable in terms of performance than the free ones and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of people, and there's lots of uses for them. I use it for a lot of network troubleshooting stuff because I need to come from different IP addresses to see how stuff reacts and stuff. But there's a lot of legitimate uses no matter what for that kind of stuff. So,
Jeff, is there any truth to the I've seen it bandied around, and I don't know where I read it, if I read it on Reddit or somewhere, but there is a list kept of people that use VPNs. So if you're using a VPN, let's just go for the biggest boogeyman, the NSA has a list of people, and you're on it.
That would be pretty much impossible. Maybe some of the companies that provide this stuff could supply their customer list, but I know a lot of the free ones and underground ones are not supplying their list to the NSA. So unless they're hacking those providers' servers and stealing stuff, and even many of those provider servers don't store anything or keep any data, that would be pretty much impossible. One thing that will happen, though, and I warn you about all people with this, because it happens when you walk around from work to home, wherever you go, is places like Facebook and Amazon, they put cookies on almost every website anymore. You hit a website, they know what computer accessed it. No matter if you're using a VPN or you're at home or your work, they can track you pretty good if you ever logged into any of their accounts through those cookies on all these different websites of everything you browse and where you come from. So do be aware of that kind of stuff. Incognito mode on browsers help quite a bit. But yes, the big websites, Facebook, Google, they have so many cookies. You log into their services, they track every page you hit. So they automatically know if you're using a VPN or not. It's very simple for them to tell, but that doesn't mean the NSA is keeping the list. And if you're careful, you can actually keep off those lists if there was a list.
Okay. Well, I was just, this made me chuckle. I was just, I knew I had posted an article from All Tech Considered in NPR on our Facebook page some time ago, and it's down there. So if there's an article about VPNs and online privacy and things like that, and it's a good article, and they have some interesting links and some PDFs you can read if you're more interested in this whole thing. There's a really great VPN comparison chart at the very end, and I think there's also a ARS Technica helpful guide at the bottom. So there's a couple of good links in that article. And I chuckled because as I'm scrolling through the timeline, I see that we posted a link to really great news that Kaspersky was offering a free antivirus program now. And we put that on our Facebook page. And boy, I don't know if that was such good advice. There was a really inflammatory article in, was it the Washington Post, Jeff, about Kaspersky and some hacking that could have happened?
Yeah, and actually Ars Technica has a better article that matches up a whole bunch of timelines of different things. But anyway, the general gist of it is, once again, the NSA has demonstrated they cannot keep under control their own stuff, much less keep secret VPN lists.
Okay.
Basically, a contract.
Point taken.
Yeah. A contractor took some classified files home from the NSA in 2015 and put them on his home computer. And it, from the article and all the speculation and all the timelines of stuff that's happened, it's been pretty proven that Russian hackers got into his computer. They think through the Russian antivirus program, figured out those files with the NSA and stole them. And going back in timelines, if you remember the last hacks of the shadow brokers and that big scare earlier this year with them doing the zero-day Windows exploit stuff, and the article goes through a pretty good timeline. That all started exactly when this happened. And the contractor was supposedly supposed to be working on new exploits and new backdoor programs. And all this stuff started leaking out right after this. And there was actually an arrest made. The NSA actually arrested the person for taking classified material home and stuff like that. But the vector they thought they stole it from, and all this other stuff that's been happening over the last couple of years that's been making a mess of stuff, all kind of originated from that date and when they think they use Russian hackers use antivirus program. There's no evidence that the people who invented or work on the antivirus program did it, but it's definitely Russian hackers using that program to find files generated made by the NSA and stealing them. So it's been officially banned through all federal government agencies, the use of that antivirus program. I would highly suggest you do not use that antivirus program because we just don't know all the facts, but there's a lot of speculation, a lot of evidence to say that Russian hackers have at least been able to compromise the antivirus and steal files off any computer running it.
I guess I'll need to delete that post later. I'll put that on my timeline, or I'll take that off our timeline, but the timeline for the show suggests we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got much more things to talk about. Including possible questions from the public. And that's you, listeners, 956-SDPB. If you'd like to text a question to us, that's 956-7372. Of course, you can give us a call, our 800 number as well, 800-524-3604 is the number, or our email address in the moment at sdpb.org. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to In the Moment Tech Radio on SDPB. Got a slate of issues we want to talk about today. I think, Joel, did we cover the Apple news sufficiently in our last program, or was there anything we needed to stop back and visit on?
You know, I don't remember. Boy, it was almost 3 weeks ago or whatever since we talked about it. Yeah, I mean, I think we covered the major points. The last time we talked, it was announced, and now all of those devices are available. Not all of them, everything but the iPhone 10 is available. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
How was the public reaction in the last 3 weeks, would you characterize?
Well, I mean, I have to tell you, the reaction for the update for the Apple TV, the 4K version of that, has been more positive than I expected. I expected a lot of people to go, well, they're just catching up to everybody else. And there's plenty of that, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But people, I think, really like the Apple TV interface, and now that it's 4K and a few other little minor upgrades, there were some upgrades to the remote, actually, that weren't really announced that were, I think, were smart upgrades. But it's been more positive than I expected with the Apple TV 4K. And I think people that have bought the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus like it. I think everybody, you know, who's, you know, in the tech world is probably waiting for the iPhone 10. I have an 8 right now, and I think it's a great phone. I don't know that I'd recommend upgrading if you already have a 7. But if you got a 6 or a 6S, I think it's probably worth it. And then the other update was the Apple Watch with cellular.
Which our Mac Guru also has. We were talking about it during the commercial break.
Yes, I'm wearing one now. Has, I think, been... A lot of people have been waiting to be able to just call from their phone, from their watch alone. So I think sales will be pretty strong for that. I like the watch quite a bit. Other than the calling, I noticed it's just a bit faster. Frankly, I think the best updates were the software updates, iOS 11 and the watchOS 4 updates, which were free, and they're free for everybody that's got a Mac or a iOS or watch device. I think those updates were really good.
For what reason? What did they do? What did they need additional apps or?
Yeah, so many You know, I mean, I'd have to pick it apart. You know, I'll just highlight.
I've enjoyed iOS 11. Yeah. I think it's subtle, but just some nice little things.
Luckily, that's what Apple tends to do, is to make subtle changes, nothing too crazy so that people can't use their phone anymore. but I'll highlight some of the ones on the watchOS that I think are really good.
Hey, give me a couple, yeah.
Yeah, they changed the way you access, or they made it optional. You can browse your apps on your watch the same way you were. It's kind of like a big grid. But now they have kind of a scrolling, what amounts to, it looks like little file folders go by. And I find that's a much easier way to browse it. They've also changed some of the configuration of where the settings are, and that's been really good. Probably the best part about the watchOS 4 is overall it's actually a faster OS than the previous couple versions. So if you haven't updated your watch to iOS 4 or watchOS 4, you definitely need to do it. Things work smoother, work faster. Things are a bit more intuitive. It'll take a little getting used to because buttons have kind of moved around, but you know, there's a little tutorial you can take, and I highly recommend it. I think this is, if you were waiting on a smartwatch, this is the time to hop in right now with the new OS and the new watches.
I saw a great tweet that, side by side put the new watch from here in 2017 next to the original iPhone 10 years ago in 2007 and had the specs listed, and they're really like dangerously close to each other.
Right.
And the tweet just said, just so you know where this is all going.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and just trying to get you the idea of, okay, basically the phone we had 10 years ago, the original iPhone, is now on our wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't think things are going to wearables and you don't think... You know,
exactly, just, 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost 10 years to the day.
Yeah.
Later.
I mean, some way, in the current smartphone ecosystem, they're getting larger and more fancier in cameras and becoming computers. But I think that's just like today's consumer, because I think we're still making that transition from you know, not even having a laptop, but just having a big, robust smartphone. But I still buy that it's going to be on our wrist, and we're going to, you know, get it away from our pocket.
Yeah.
And it's
and I think it's probably not even going to be on the wrist. I think it'll maybe be an earbud. I mean, you and I were talking before the show even started. Apple released the AirPods, the wireless earbuds, last year now, and they were available starting basically in January most people. I don't see a lot of them around, but I get a lot of questions when I'm wearing them. Are they any good? And I constantly tell people, as don't hesitate. If you're going to only buy one technology product this year from Apple, buy the AirPods. They're the best thing that they've made in a long time. I hope they're not listening, but I would pay double. That's how much I like them. They do everything you want.
I think it's the best product Apple's made in a few years.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because there's headphones. But a couple of things I like about them: when I go for a run or listen to a podcast, you take them out. If you run into someone or you're walking down the street and you see a friend, you take them out, and your song or your podcast or your book just stops. You put them back in and it just starts playing automatically. They sync really smoothly through Bluetooth and with your phone.
You can stop and start by tapping on one,
They
actually work independently. You can have one, if you tap it, stops it, and the next one, you can have it skip track.
If you're someone who has ever run with the traditional white ear pods with this cord, you know, that you think of from Apple, and they fall out, right? They jingle and they hit, and then they fall out of your ears, and you're like, oh, I hate these.
They're usually ripped out of my ears, by the way, because...
Yeah, right?
Whatever.
So... Yeah. It's still shaped the same, but because there's no string, because they're wireless, they don't fall out for me. Like, I'll go a run, they don't bounce around, they don't. So I think that part's really nice.
Yeah, I have never had them fall out. People think, I think because
the
of the cable,
ones, I used to
they're used to them falling out. I think it's a good observation, but I've never had them fall out, and I work with them all the time, you know, all sorts of things. I often forget that I have them in, frankly.
With the cord?
No, I'm talking about with the AirPods.
I've never had them fall out.
But I think people, I think that's the reason people expect that they'll fall out. And I'm sure that some people's ears, they maybe aren't compatible with. But I've had no issues.
And since we're on the topic, we also need to, I sent the link to Kent about, do you see Google's kind of competitor that they're releasing to Apple's AirPods.
Yeah, yeah.
They just announced at their hardware conference this week, mm-hmm. I think about similar price, $159.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is as advertised, I mean, the headlines were pretty sexy, but this pairs with the new Pixel phone, and they claim that it'll translate 40 languages.
I don't know why it wouldn't. It's just an extension of your phone. I mean, that's just software.
I know, but
there's no hardware involved there. That's fantastic.
So
that's just the Google being smart about software.
Yeah. So you take them abroad, and you're at a restaurant in Paris, and your waiter asks you what you want in French. It says it delays 1 to 2 seconds, and it'll translate to whatever language you want to. I guess out of the 40. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, absolutely.
The press release I guess I got was a little bit, it makes sense that it's not really built into the headphones themselves. I mean, although it probably could be at some point, somebody's going to probably do that. But there was a video online that showed a native English speaker and a native Swedish speaker that had a conversation with each other, and there was just a little bit of lag time in between. But that's kind of incredible for people that travel. Pretty interesting.
As we head toward our holiday episode that we always do in November,
mm-hmm.
I think the answer is, you know, wireless earbuds are a great product. Which one is right for you? That really probably comes down to what phone you have. So right. The Google one has to work with the Pixel. Of course, the Apple one has to work with an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. And you can
Earbuds are actually part of a very larger AI push that Google did this week that really ties into the new Pixel phones massively. A whole bunch of actually different AI products, this being one of them. So Google this week really decided kind of betting the farm on the future of AI in many cases. So it'd be interesting to see how these developments keep going. But it's going to be kind of fascinating, especially if the translation can keep up that accurately and that fast all the time. It's the universal translator from Star Trek, in effect.
Yeah, just one last thing on the earbuds. So for wireless, as far as wireless goes, whether you do the AirPods or the what are they calling these again from Google, the buds,
AirBuds,
Pixel buds.
Earbuds for buds. Google AirPods,
for wireless. Pods and yeah, buds, and or if you get a third party, if you have ever been working in your yard or doing anything, whether it's snow blowing or mowing or whatever, and something grabs onto, whether it's a stick or something, or you brush by something and you physically rip those earphones out of your ears, making the transition over to wireless is just like a slice of heaven. You can have your music, you can work, and you don't have to worry about those being ripped out of your ears every 30 seconds. It's just amazing. It's an amazing thing. But anyway, so no matter what the product, the switch over to wireless is a really great thing. And just watch how big the battery is or the charge time is on them, so you can do that sort of thing and be as long as you need to be. A question: do they hold up to sweat and such at the gym? And I'm not sure which product they're referring to, but let's start. Since you guys are familiar with the AirPods, how are they for the gym?
So I've used mine on runs at the gym. I don't know if my I don't think my ears are particularly sweaty, but
I think probably somebody with long hair, might get wet in that way. I think that's probably what they're referring to.
Are they sweat resistant? Is the question.
I have dropped mine in water.
Oh, you have?
And quickly pulled them up and dried it off, and so they're not waterproof. But like a lot of modern devices, they've made them as water resistant as they can. And they have no physical ports on them to plug anything in. They charge kind of in a semi-wirelessly way in the little charger that they come with. So I wouldn't say that they're waterproof, but they seem to be pretty water resistant. In my case, you know, I wear them in the rain. I've never had an issue with that. I've exercised with them in. They don't fall out.
I think they're also pretty discreet. I mean, I've had people come up and talk to me with them on because they don't notice them right away.
For sure, yeah.
And then you take them out, and that's why it's so nice. Like the song or your book stops automatically.
Well, yeah,
but I remember the days of early Bluetooth headphones. The, you know, you'd see the sales folks like just walking around. I'm never going to wear one of those because they were just so embarrassing.
Well,
right?
and I think other Bluetooth devices that I've used, you know, you know they come unpaired sometimes, and then you know there's always a little delay in the play pause. There's none of that with these devices. And one of the things I like with the AirPods, I guess this we're veering off the question here, but I kind of get twice as much life out of it because I can use one for however long, and then I just switch to the other, and it just knows that I do that, and I get like twice the battery life out of it. I've never gone a day where I've actually had to charge them in the middle of the day. So, but yeah, as far as workout, you know, there are some third-party devices, if you're really worried about them falling out, that basically kind of connect those to a wire so that they can kind of go around your neck in a traditional wireless headset way, where you've got something that's like on your body, so if they fall out, you can still, they don't fall on the ground or whatever. So there are third-party solutions for that if that's what you're worried about.
I think the one legitimate concern you hear the most, which I think is fair, is just possibly losing them. You know, because they.
I know somebody that did.
I mean, I haven't yet, but certainly it'd be a huge bummer to lose your $150 headphones, and they're just like the size of little peanuts, right? And there's two of them.
For sure.
And you take them out, or you set them, or you drop them, and they fall through a vent in your house. You know, whatever.
Yeah, they do show up on the "Where's My iPhone" app list. So and they can play a little sound if you've lost them and they are
in
connected.
A couch or yeah, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So, I have misplaced them temporarily for, you know, minute to a half an hour to an hour at a time, and I just always make sure I find it first thing. But I know people that have lost them, lost the little charger. I know Apple's going to come out with a replacement charger that also allows you to charge that wirelessly. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, you don't want to lose them, and that's kind of a drag. So if you're kind of a phone losey type person, maybe that's not the right thing for you. But, yeah, other than that.
Joel, I want to just roll back a little bit to a comment you made earlier about the way things were going and you where you brought this discussion up about the pods. And are you suggesting that the interface someday is going to be with the something in your ear? Maybe you speak to it, or you know. After the last show, you think it or whatever, and you're not using the interface of, let's just say it's a phone or whatever, to tap into or speak to that, but the interface is going to be to your body is going to be the buds.
Well, I think maybe that's just going to be the only device that you really wind up needing, and I think the interface could be something like 3D projection. It could be something like glasses or a contact, or it could be an implant. I really do think that that's going to happen, where the interface is just going to be in front of you, and it's going to, you know, there'll be a sensor that, and I'm just making all this up, so don't, you know, don't quote me on
this.
Don't
put this on the radio. Yeah.
I just don't think we're going to have something that we have to have strapped to our arm, or that we're going to have a little brick that we carry around. I think it's going to be easier than that. Because that's what we all want. I mean, if I could say you had access to the internet and you don't have to carry anything with you, you'd be like, okay, yeah, sign me up. I want to do that.
I think that prediction is pretty concrete. I mean, we don't know what it will be, whether it be glasses or pods or wearable or in, what'd you call the...
contact?
No, like...
Or implant?
Implant, yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds a little freaky, but I think the prediction is right. I think it won't be a big square phone in our pocket.
You know, Jeff brought up the universal translator from Star Trek. Well, that was in the year 2300. Okay, here we are. We're 2017, and you've got that available for you at 2018 for sure. So, I mean, and again, you know, John brought up the phone shrinks down in 10 years to, and actually the watch is a much better device than the first iPhone ever was, you know, more modern everything, you know, and it's, and it lasts three times as long. So, I mean, just extrapolate another 10 years.
And another interesting development, because really, you know, this outside the phone and texting, the second most popular thing on the phone is the camera, you know, taking pictures and videos. And That could even go away from the phone a bit. Google announced this week they have a new camera set. It's a little clip-on, and it's fully AI. And what I mean by that is it decides when to take the pictures. You don't. It actually actually learns who your friends and family are. You just wear it around, and when it sees something interesting or it thinks it's going to be a good picture, it will actually snap a picture for you through a short little video sequence that it captures, stores, and then you can upload and review later. So you just wear it around. You don't even have to worry about, you know, you can manually snap a picture. But it'll decide when your friends are around and when they're smiling and stuff and when it's photographic and take a picture for you. So that's kind of a wearable, too, that replaces that, you know, primary having to get the phone out and take a picture. You just wear it, and it literally does it all for you and decides the best times for those pictures to be taken.
And I think we'll still have some sort of screen or some sort of, you have to look at something.
That doesn't have content. There's no display.
Yeah,
but I think the thing that's going to go really quickly is typing is going to go away. And so interface is going to be the voice.
I pray
It's going to be all voice activated, voice command. I read an article in Wall Street Journal said that the next billion people to get online, meaning generally in third world countries, folks who are buying, say, not smartphones, so like we'll say dumb phones or getting online for the first time, they're doing so through voice because the text interface either isn't robust enough or they don't even need it. So that's something that is going to happen really soon, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
you're seeing that with Alexa and Siri.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think voice to text and voice command has been, you know, coming along for 30 years. I mean, that's how old it is. But I would say in the past 4 or 5 years, it has just gone, you know, uphill at such a rate. You know, voice command is so much better than it was this year, than it was last year, and the year before that. I've got my house loaded with Amazon devices, and I'm constantly shocked by how well it works. Always. Every day, I'm blown away.
I also love to just be on the radio and say Alexa, because then I know,
you know
that
what?
People are listening to
it. They have fixed that. No, they have fixed that because I literally have an Amazon device in every room of my house. And there was a time, you know, anybody that knows me knows I listen to public radio all day long, every day. So it's
with
always
your AirPods.
Yeah. No, actually, a lot of times at home I have it going through the Alexa. And they're within earshot of each other, so... they will say Alexa, you know.
How did they fix it?
I don't know how they fixed it. But I would say when it happened all the time, you know, it was very funny. And it probably happens maybe 10% of the time now.
Okay.
I don't know how they've done it, but they have more or less fixed that. They haven't advertised that, but in my house, it's mostly fixed.
I would say after that South Park episode, they probably fixed it really fast. And then you can say, I don't know how they did it. But if you haven't seen that, it's very not safe for work. So keep your children away from it. But if you go looking for the clip, it's you know, it'll make you smile. If you're an aficionado or a pundit or whatever, or you don't like the devices or you do, it's kind of an interesting thing. But we have to take a quick break when we come back. Got some more questions for our panelists, and maybe you do too. We'll get those in just a second.
Support for Reporting on Technology and Innovation comes from Juna Sleep System. Personalize your mattress. More information at junasleep.com.
We are back to Tech Radio on In the Moment on SDPB. Our guests in the studios in Sioux Falls are Joel Brovelite and Lemonly's John T. Meyer. With us is also from Peer Jeff Litterick. Thank you for joining us today. Quick programming note, Monday, special In the Moment. There is going to be some great music from the Black Hills Symphony. They cover some Lakota Music Project music that day. And we'll have a nice chat with Tim Gallego on In the Moment on Monday. So be sure to tune in for that. Guys, I want to get back, John or Joel, or I guess Jeff, any of you can answer this. We alluded to a list of things that are possibilities. They could be earbuds, they could be an implant, it could be something you wear on you, it could be something you clip to you or whatever. Are software engineers and hardware engineers paying attention to, I guess, people's habits when it comes to what they want out of technology, more so than it seems like in the older days, these products would be developed and then they'd wait and see how people reacted to them. Is there more attention being paid the other way around, how people are using the technology as they're being designed, do you think?
Well, God, I hope so. Yeah, well, I mean, that's like the only way to build a product, right?
Well, famously, Steve Jobs would always say that, you know, you make something, you tell people why they want it. You know,
you're going to give me the Henry Ford quote, right? Well, no, if they would have asked what people wanted, they would have said faster horses.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. Because if you just build for what people want, you're just playing catch up. You're always going to just play catch up. So, I mean, I really don't think that that's what most engineers I think what most engineers now are looking for a problem and then solve that problem in a way that makes it easy to use rather than, you know, because what you said, faster horses, that's exactly what people want. Well, what do you want? Well, I want a phone with a bigger screen. Do you really? Or why do you want that bigger screen? Let's solve that
problem. Yeah, certainly you have to innovate, but you also it has to be a feedback loop too, right?
Sure. The feedback loop winds up being, does your product fail or sure. not? You know, and I think, you know, Google Glass, they're probably the expert at this, making products that fail and then learning from that.
Sure.
I mean, I don't think of that as a bad thing. I think that's a smart thing. You know, Amazon did this very same thing with, nobody was asking for a speaker you could talk to with the Amazon Echo. Nobody was asking for that. But all of a sudden it was great, got a lot of good reviews, went over about a year, and all of a sudden it got better reviews. And now they're all over the place, and other companies are coming out with things that are just basically copies.
Well, that's an example of, I think that's probably, I could pretty safely say, Amazon's first successful hardware product.
Sure.
And, I mean, maybe Kindle, but Bezos does not care about how his phones do. I mean, he wants to build, he wants to ship product, see what people, how the consumer reacts, and then continue to innovate. And he just wants to get folks into the ecosystem, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, they, much like Google, they'll try until see something that sticks. But again, nobody was asking for that device, so they just decided to fix a problem that nobody knew they had.
Was it Amazon that's got the new Dot that's got the camera in it? That's also the alarm clock. You're supposed to put it in your bedroom and point it at your bed. Have you guys seen that?
I saw something that they were going to add almost like a FaceTime, like a video screen to the Dot if you wanted to then like call friends or family.
Yeah, they actually have three new Amazon Echo devices that add to the other new ones that are on the list. I think there must be 6 or 9 new, not new, but Amazon products that are run the Amazon Alexa software. So, you know, and I think 3 of them have displays on them. Maybe 2 of them have displays. And one of them has a camera. That's maybe the one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I should say the ones with the screen also have a camera, but there's one that has a camera but no screen. It gets complicated, but you know, I think they're again just trying to figure out what people exactly want. I have 2 of the Amazon Show, which is basically the Amazon Echo with a screen, and those things are fantastic. I get sucked in to watching the headlines go by on that thing. My wife is like, "Quit looking at that thing over my shoulder," because I'll just watch the headlines and I'm like, "Oh, I want to know more about that story." So you can either ask it or I, you know, do it on my phone while we're watching TV. I don't even see the TV anymore. I think this thing's fantastic. Who knew I wanted that? I didn't know I wanted that.
So you're consuming your news through a device that we didn't hear about that long ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just more entertainment, guys. More entertainment.
And somewhere,
yeah. I mean, SDPV needs to look into, like, what do they call them, skills or whatever that Amazon does.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of the NPR content creators thought leaders creating those Amazon skills so you can get a daily quote from your favorite author or business leader or, you know, of course, news, NPR.
Yeah, NPR One is a really good skill on the Amazon Echo. I use that every day.
My wife and I come home and we'll play a quick little round of Jeopardy with Alex Trebek.
That's a good way to do
that. Gives us 5 questions, yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, last night I noticed that you could watch Thursday Night Football on the Amazon Echo Show. You could just tell it to start Thursday Night Football because Amazon has the streaming contract for that.
Streaming rights,
so you could just like watch it on the show. I didn't do it, but I was like, huh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that.
That's the one, when you say the show, that's the one
with the
screen.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And now there's a couple of them with screens. I highly recommend if you don't have one and you're thinking about buying one, get the one with the screen. It's like three times more useful.
And I'll just note that this is not the first time that John T. Meyer has told me to get skills. So
True.
I'm still working on it. Sorry, John. But yeah, I've actually looked into that.
Just for free ideas.
A little bit. Yeah, you know, maybe that's a future digital short for the show. How and why you should get some skills. It's certainly a big market, right, for business?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think it's early, but I think often early is a good place to be. So, yeah, it's something I would try.
Yeah, well, you like you mentioned earlier in the show, fail early, fail often. Don't be afraid to fail. Keep trying. And this goes back to the whole, what are people going to adopt? Maybe we don't know. Maybe we just need to sit back and watch and see what happens and see where people are going with this and then innovate and try something else, I guess. Not sure. What's making people become active users in Instagram again? That's up crazy amounts monthly now. Is that did they get bought by Facebook and now it's a popular thing again, or what's driving all that?
I don't think it was ever out of popularity.
No. Oh, okay.
I mean, Instagram is you can watch the hockey stick curve. It's just been constant for 5 years now.
Yeah, I think as camera phones get better and easier to use, and plugins and ways to edit those photos become easier, that's the reason the drive for Instagram goes that way. You know, it's so easy to take pictures and post them to Instagram, and you know, do the editing. It'll do that for you. Lots of.
And the other thing that has plugins. Fueled growth too, especially as because of course, downloads is one thing, but tech companies care about monthly active users. How often are people logging in? They don't just have it on their phone, but they actually use it. They pretty much blatantly, and they will admit it, ripped off a lot of the core features of Snapchat Stories, and created their own Instagram Stories. And the return, the data is showing that those are popular. And growth has stalled a little bit on Snapchat. I think they still have the younger market captured a little bit better, but it seems to be celebrities, influencers are really flocking to Instagram, and so they're really doing well. And you're right, they also have Facebook and all the data and all the knowledge that Facebook has behind it since they were acquired by Facebook. So even on as brands, Instagram, which who knows, maybe that'll inevitably drive a few users away, but Instagram is going to become a huge platform to advertise as well. You're going to start seeing a lot more brands in your feed. Instagram's doing a decent job of trying to distinguish that, so you should see when a post is sponsored, or you should see when what's called influencer marketing, someone you may follow is creating a post on Instagram that's actually an ad. They are, you know, supposed to disclose that that's an ad. And Instagram's trying to build a few features to make that a little bit more clear.
Hmm. Well, did you mention more video being produced every day on Instagram compared to like a year ago?
I didn't say that, but I would believe that 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had
just easier to use on phones, so obviously it's going to migrate.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good answer, Joel, and good answer.
Just this week they added polling, which is kind of cool, the Instagram Stories, so you can ask people to poll and then vote, which is pretty cool.
I'll try that out, perhaps tomorrow at the state tennis finals in Sioux Falls or at the soccer tournament. We'll try to engage our audience in a new, innovative way. But hey, thanks, guys. You've engaged me on another Friday. I want to thank our panelists, Jeff, Joel, and John. That's unfortunately all the time we have for today's show. We're always there for you at SDPB with our app or at sdpb.org. Go there and click on listen, and have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe.